All right, folks, it's time for a fish report. How you doing, Leaf?
Great. How you doing, Depp?
I was going to say, don't we sound awesome?
Oh, man, it sounds, I can hear myself.
Yeah, we're not out in the field. We're in the studio with the good microphones. It's been a while since we've had a little update on fishing.
Yeah, been a little bit, been kind
of
busy.
And I've noticed with all this warm weather, of course, more flow in the rivers. How's that doing anything out there?
Yeah, it's... You know, the flow has come up, and in the lower river where we saw some of the debris come in from those slides and the fires and whatnot, definitely coloring up considerably. For the first part there, when it was just a little bit of color and a little bit more flow, we were doing pretty good down there. Lately, I've shifted just to up above Beaver Creek, which we've found is that kind of golden rule zone there, the tributary that is responsible for, or the topmost one responsible for some of this color. So most of the time, if you get above that... You're just going to have the extra flow to contend with. So
now, is that area from Beaver on down, is that a traditional place where you get a lot of spawning action in the past?
Yeah, well, you know, steelhead want to be up in the tributaries and in the upper portions of our system, but there are some fish that would have preferred to spawn in that stretch of river. But, you know, they, given, you know, how long it's been, should do a good job adjusting to that.
Okay, meaning they'll just go past it?
Yeah, but at the same time, just like with our coho and our summer chinook, it's going to lead to some superimposition of reds. So they'll be spawning red on top of red, and so then you kind of... have less wild recruitment because they're kind of digging into those reds that are underneath the nest, the eggs.
Yep, yep.
Just for those of us that don't, or those out there that don't know what we're talking
about. Well, I was going to
ask. No, they're not red.
That's, the reds are where they kind of clean up the gravel, deposit their eggs.
Right.
I was going to ask for native recruitment, though. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, well, just the fish that would come out of that. The fish that you would expect those eggs to eye up, turn to alvins, and have your fry swim out of that. Because those eggs that are under there already are already partway into their maturation. Those embryos are forming in there.
So that disturbing
dig
is
on
gonna...
there. Yeah, you're really kind of scrambling that egg before it's finished growing. And so... That will cut down on our wild recruitment, the success of those wild reds, or the wild fish and their reds. But if you think about it too, it's like we were talking earlier. There's going to be less to eat because there's going to be that damaged section of stream below. So you really don't want to have too many fish in a system that suffered a shock like this. Anyway, you probably want a lower density so that they can all have plenty to eat.
Yeah. It is really kind of an interesting thing to watch Mother Nature through a microscope like this and just see how she adjusts.
You look at one part like, oh, we didn't get as much recruitment. But if you look at it in a big picture, it's like she does a great job of just balancing things out herself.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've noticed about our fish report over time is we have the ability, you have the ability, to really talk in depth about fisheries, hatcheries, what goes on. And that's because, and I don't know that everybody knows this, along with guiding fishing tours, you also work in the industry.
Yeah, I've worked in fisheries for over 10 years now. Spent about 10 years as a hatchery tech, and now I work as a SciTech, a science technician. And, you know, I also, in this new job, kind of spend part of my time reconditioning steelhead, and that's taking them in after they've spawned, and getting them back into good shape so I can re-release those fish, and they can have that chance to spawn again. Because steelhead, like Atlantic salmon, are patagious. It's not just a one-time thing for them.
They can
repeat spawn. And here in the upper Methow area, you know, historically, even without the dams, we probably had no more than, like, 1% or 2% this far inland, you know, we're like 800 miles in. But on the coast, you could expect as much as like 30%. In some systems, 40% would be repeat spawning steelhead. So it almost reflects what you would see in Atlantic salmon populations. There's less fish, but there doesn't need to be as many because they come back.
Oh, interesting. Well, you're telling me about an interesting project you've been working on here lately about the antennas.
Tell
the folks about that. What are they doing?
You know, I've operated these antennas that you'll see on the Methow and these other rivers a lot. It looks like a PVC pipe laying on the stream bed there, and you'll usually see a corresponding data box nearby with either a solar power or batteries in a box to keep that computer going. That's it's just logging all those marked fish that cross across those antenna arrays. And so we've been building those from the ground up, and we're just getting ready to not only, you know, count the fish released from these acclimation ponds and hatcheries, but also count the fish that we'll be trapping on their way back up.
It gives
us a lot of valuable data.
So a little bit like a traffic counter you'd see on the road.
Yeah, da-ding, da-ding, they're going across. Yeah, exactly.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
So what kind of information, what happens if a fish goes back and forth? I mean, goes up and then comes back down.
Well, that's kind of part of it. We just want to know what they're doing. Not only how many are there, but what are they doing? Are they, you know, with steelhead, they will just really mill around. They could run all the way up to the top of this river in almost a day, and then just decide they want to go back down and knock on the door of Chief Joseph Dam or go up the Okanagan a couple miles. They're just really a funny fish that way sometimes. So
I'll be darned.
It's really cool to see what they're doing.
So that chip will identify a specific fish. I mean, he went up and then he came down and he went. You'll be able to...
Some of them. You'll either see him with a pit tag, and that would be the tag that is in their belly that has their individual number on it in a computer chip that can be picked up. And you'll be able to see who's who with that with that one. With the CWT in their nose, it's just more like metal unless you take it out and look at the hash marks on there. And that looks like a barcode, and that'll give you the info. But you can't really know anything from that one other than it has something in it.
Yeah.
And then you'll maybe, as you're catching a fish now, see these fish with what we call a Floy tag. And that's kind of like a – it almost looks like a retail you know, how you would put a price tag on a shirt or something.
Yeah.
And we kind of punch it through the dorsal there, and you'll see just sort of a little colored piece there, and it'll have some numbers on it. You know, if you catch some of our fish, they'd probably have a brown Floy tag with a number on there that gives the fish's prisoner ID number and a number to call if you catch it. Sometimes there will be a number on there. So it's always good for us if you could call that number and tell us which fish you caught and where you caught it. You know.
So where do you think the industry is learning about fish? I mean, do you guys, I'm guessing that you would not say we know everything there is to know.
Well, you know, there's constantly, you know, the more you know, the more ideas you have as far as what to figure out next.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of, we've learned a lot here, but then we've also opened the doors to, you know, more things that we found that we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
In the upper sections and in the rivers and inland, we have a lot more data than out in the ocean. The ocean is kind of a little bit foggier.
Yeah.
Because once they head out there, we have an idea where they're going. But we lose the ability to, you know, say, pick them up and sample them and check condition, or just, you know, it's a little bit foggier what's happening out there as far as what we have.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It must be fascinating.
It's good stuff. It's really fun, and I feel blessed to be working in a business that obviously I'm very passionate about, and, you know, just have learned a lot about fish. It's really opened my eyes, and I'm really happy that I think we really have kind of a higher educated public around here about fisheries, because not only because we do this here, you and I, but there's just so much of it that inevitably these people learn about what's going on in their area.
I know some people may think it's peripheral to their lives or something, but I so enjoy it. I mean, we learn something from it, and truthfully, having a healthy stream.
Oh man,
I love that. You know, it's like just having a healthy community or healthy garden and soil in your garden. Just like, a healthy stream's a good sign, and it's nice to know how that is maintained. So,
and it's just getting better and better. These side channel projects we talk about, and there's a new one that's going to be happening this year. The state is re-enhancing one of those side channels down by Benson Creek that you probably usually see there as you're going down the highway. If you look right as you're headed south, you see that kind of slough, and it's always got a decent amount of flow. A lot of it's groundwater, but in the high water, that would be a place where we'd get some high water push, and those places are really valuable. I saw a really neat movie, or just, you know, a short on Juvenile, and you may have seen it on Facebook. It was Juvenile rearing space, and they're up in, you know, almost in the trees during that high water, as you can imagine. They don't want to be out there in the blasting stuff, and so they're off in those. The juvenile fish will take refuge in those little spots, and it's just a lot softer flow, and you might not even think about it as like a fish bearing portion of the river, but those parts of the river are, you know, crucial.
Well, I know every time they've opened up something like that recently, it's like they're almost instantly populated.
Yeah. We talked about how the coho blasted right up that new one that the Yakimas did here north of Twisp. And I'm just really excited to see what Whitefish Island and the others upstream mm-hmm. produce as far as not only just rearing space for our salmon and steelhead, but, you know, just our native trout, our local trout are going to be.
Right on.
Booming. Good fishing.
Yeah, man. Which brings us back to where we kind of departed here.
Let's bookend with fishing, huh?
Yeah, so the water's high, but that hasn't stopped things.
Yeah, no, I've heard really good stories. People are having great success once they kind of get right on to what they're wanting to see. Right now, you know, you're able to swing again because they're getting a little more aggressive. The water temps are up along with those flows. So mm-hmm. it's kind of sped up their metabolism a little bit, and where they're willing to chase something down a little bit more. So you could get away with swinging some smaller, you know, bucktail traditional swing patterns, or just nymphing. And in nymphing lately, it's kind of going back to that bigger meal, the stonefly and the egg pattern from the chironomid, those little guys that
yep,
I was using.
Yep, yep. Egg patterns are starting to come back into it a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know that I can't imagine any of these steelhead are soft enough to drop one, but, you know, I think they're just a sucker for it. It's always on their mind. They like eggs.
Mm-hmm. They recognize it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you need any more info, just check out the blog there at Fly Fishers Pro Shop and Medhow Fishing Adventures. We'll do anything we can to get you out there on those fish. Feel free to give me a call, 429-7298, or just drop me a line there. And, hey, don't forget to get your fish on.
Fish.